Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
As we prepare to hear God's Word in Scripture and in proclamation, let us join our voices in the prayer for illumination. Please pray with me. Living God, by your Spirit, open our hearts and minds to hear your word with courage and faith. Shape us into a people who find life in Christ and strength in community. Amen. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Jesus says, "So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." A second reading comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, let us pray. O holy and gracious God, may my words be your words, and may your words be planted in our hearts and minds and souls in the days and weeks to come. May your words bind us in community, that we know that we are never alone, for you and your people are with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome home, my friends. What a joy it is for us to gather, old friends, new friends, longtime church members, newcomers and visitors, all of us together this day as one body. Today, as we know, this is our homecoming or rally day or fall kickoff, whatever we want to call it. But the sentiment is today is a day where we celebrate this community, this home that we have with each other, and the start of a new season together. I love this day because I love any day where our church feels especially alive. And when we have our English worshipers and our Arabic worshipers, our Chin Burmese worshipers, our traditional worshipers, our contemporary worshipers, when all of us come together, it feels like we are alive. And it feels so good to have our voices joined together in song and in prayer, to see our children laughing and running, especially in just a few moments when we see them outside. The food and fellowship that is waiting for us after this worship service, after a very brief congregational meeting. All of this reminds us of the joy that it happens when God's people gather. And I also think about the people in this room, each and every single one of you. I think about why we come together. Because the truth is, all of us, no matter what our story is outside of this place, all of us carry stories of joy and sorrow. Some of us today are celebrating new beginnings, while others of us might be carrying grief that feels too heavy. But I have a feeling, like most humans, like most of us, people in this room somehow are carrying a combination of both. Both the joy and the grief. Yet no matter what we are carrying, we come and go from this place together in search of life and in search of hope. And although at times it might be painstakingly difficult, we trust and we know that we do find that life and that hope again and again, even in seasons of loss. When Jesus is speaking to the disciples in our passage for today from Matthew, he's not sugarcoating the life that they will have. Jesus never once says to the disciples, "Follow me and everything will be great," or "Follow me and everything will be fine." Jesus never says those words. In fact, in this passage, Jesus says three times in one breath, "Do not be afraid." And he says that because he knows that there are plenty of reasons for the disciples to be afraid. To the disciples, Jesus tells them the truth. To follow him, to be a disciple of Christ, that will be plenty disruptive. It's going to test loyalties to what they know, as well as even possibly the loyalties to the people they love. And even following Jesus does bring a little bit of division. And Jesus warns this. Jesus says, "I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." And of course, we know Jesus well enough to know that Jesus isn't talking about violence. Jesus is not coming to bring violence. But he is saying that the very gospel truth of the message he carries unsettles the world's order of things. It shifts the priorities that we might have in life, and it confronts, sometimes boldly confronts, the allegiances that we have that compete against our life in Christ. And all of this is confusing and even scary, and it requires something of us. And in that bizarre understanding where Jesus is challenging all of this, telling us not to be afraid and yet saying that he's bringing a sword, Jesus gives us a paradox of true discipleship. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. I first heard this line from scripture as a teenager at a very large evangelical youth gathering. And I actually think it was something like a choir, the fire. And I want you to imagine that there was this stadium. Truly, it was a stadium filled with thousands of kids, lights flashing, the music was pumping, and all of us were gathered there to hear the preacher's message. And the preacher was shouting at us, and it was this really passionate sermon, but it was shouting at us, saying that all of the youth in the room, that we needed to be losers for Christ. And the way that he presented this idea of being a loser for Christ, he made it sound heroic and even a little bit rebellious. There was something really captivating about this idea. And at the merch table, there was this merch table. They were selling these black t-shirts with loser on the front in these big, bold, white letters. And I could tell you, as a teenager, I wanted that shirt. And I wanted to be a loser. Because at that point in my life, being a loser, especially having it claimed across my chest, loser across my chest, being a loser for Christ sounded inspiring, and it sounded fun, and it sounded so cool. It was like there was this calling for me to be a part of something bigger than myself. Everybody wants to be a loser. But now, with some years and some real experiences of loss behind me, that word loser feels a little bit different. Because we all know what it feels like to lose something. And I will tell you that it doesn't feel so heroic or cool or inspiring. Loss is actually isolating, and it is painful, and sometimes brings us to our knees because we don't see a solution or a way forward. All of us know that relationships fall apart and dreams dissolve and hope slips away. Most of us in this room knows exactly what loss feels like. And some of these losses we carry with us every single day. So what is Jesus actually asking us here when he says, when he asks us to lose our life? Must we all be the losers that we have been called to be? So John Calvin, one of the founding fathers of our tradition, John Calvin has a commentary on this passage. And John Calvin in that commentary writes, Christ does not call us to destruction, or in this case, loss. Christ does not call us to destruction, but that by his cross, he may conform us to himself. When he calls us to bear our cross, he means that each of us, when pressed by afflictions and troubles, should rely on him and thus be prepared to endure. Calvin is saying, like Jesus, that loss will come. It's part of being human. But when we rely on Christ in these moments, our lives are being shaped or even conformed to his life. And Jesus in no way is glorifying loss, but he is naming that loss is a part of life, and that discipleship does not spare us from it. But his promise is that when loss comes, we are not abandoned. There is still life to be found. And if the Gospel of Matthew names the reality of loss, then it's in our second passage, the book of Acts, that shows us how God provides life to us in the midst of loss. So in our second passage, right after Pentecost, after the Spirit has been poured out, Acts describes the very first Christian community. It begins with disciples who devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teachings, fellowship, breaking of the bread, and prayers. Four things: teaching, fellowship, meals, and prayer. Four simple practices that were enough to hold the new church together. The church, the early church, devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, words that told the truth about the story of God and about the way of Jesus. And in a world of competing voices, they clung to the story that gave them life. They were devoted to the teachings. The church devoted themselves to fellowship, to koinonia fellowship. And this was more than just friendship or relationship. This meant sharing life and burdens and even possessions. If someone had a need in the community, someone else would respond. Not a single person was removed or isolated from one another. They devoted themselves to fellowship. The church devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. Ordinary meals, yet, but something extraordinary happened during them. They offered meals where everybody had a place, where everybody was fed, and the presence of Christ was remembered and celebrated. They devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. And the church devoted themselves to prayers, trusting that God was always with them, listening to them, and sustaining their community when their own strength ran out. They devoted themselves to prayers. This word, to devote, means to hold fast, to persevere, to cling with stubborn faithfulness. To be devoted to something was to show a commitment that was greater than yourself. It was to show a great commitment to God and to one another in the community. And through these ordinary practices of teaching and fellowship, of breaking bread and prayer, God did something extraordinary. And day by day, that early church community grew. In other words, these four simple acts of devotion became the very means through which the Spirit formed the church. Acts of the Apostles isn't painting a picture of the perfect church with the perfect people where nobody struggles with loss. It's telling of a Spirit-filled church where nobody struggles alone and that everybody is connected to one another in community. As we as a church and as a community start this new year, we remember who we are called to be. We are not a perfect people. We're so much better at being imperfect anyway. We are an imperfect people. Devoted people, devoted in every season, so that when loss comes, whatever any season throws our way, when loss comes, we are already rooted, connected, and held together by God and by one another. And this isn't just about any of us as individuals, because it's about every single person here, as well as every generation that will follow. Where do we turn to when we experience loss in life? What will our children and grandchildren learn from us about where we turn to when they face loss? Will our children and grandchildren know that this community can carry them through every season? And will they know that here they will hear the word of life and share in the fellowship of love? Here they get to sit at the table of Christ. And here we lift one another up in prayer. Today, on our homecoming, as we return home, today is the day we prayerfully make this community of faith our priority once again. Today is the day we devote ourselves to God and the relationships we have with one another. God gives us a way to live through every season, to make it through every loss. In a community that teaches, prays, breaks bread, and shares life together, we are reminded that nobody goes through this journey alone. Because when, not if, but when loss comes, this is the place where Christ will meet us and we will find life once again. So friends, welcome. Welcome to the place where the Spirit is still forming an imperfect people. Welcome to the table where Christ still breaks the bread and shares the cup. Welcome to the fellowship where our joys are multiplied and our sorrows are carried together. Welcome to this community of faith who holds you in our prayers. Welcome home, for Christ has called you here. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.